Good morning, a Wednesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Yesterday, Alan, top officials from the Washington Post responsible for security at the Capitol on January 6th blamed wide-ranging intelligence failures for the deadly attack at a Senate hearing Tuesday, pointing to lapses that included a missed email warning of violence and a larger inability to recognize the threat posed by domestic right-wing extremism. Three officials who have resigned, Capitol Police Chief Stephen Stunn, House Sergeant-at-Arms Paul Irving, and Senate Sergeant-at-Arms Michael Stenger, each sought to minimize their responsibility for the events on the violent and chaotic day, which resulted in the deaths of a Capitol Police officer and four others, and temporarily delayed the congressional certification of President Biden's victory. You mentioned as much yesterday that they would try to defend themselves, but when it comes to domestic terrorism, we fell down on the job here.
Well, I don't know about the we. All I am is a private citizen who pays taxes. I say that because we spend billions of dollars on national security. And it is extraordinary that you have what we saw at the Capitol, which is somehow they didn't know enough about what was coming, and they didn't do anything about it. Now, of course, at the head of the thing was the guy who incited the riot, the president of the United States at the time, Donald Trump. And so you had this confluence of things that just happened. The president had incited it. Who were you going to go and ask whether you could bring the National Guard in? And exactly what happened was that each pointed the finger in another direction and said we couldn't have done it. Now, as I said yesterday, had these been black folk who had decided to go into the Capitol, there would have been all kinds of chaos. We have seen it before every time there's a Black Lives Matter protest, and then you get mobilization. But here, these were white people. And David, the idea that each of these people who was testifying yesterday, most of whom had already resigned and are out of there, were pointing the finger could probably be attributed to the fact that they all had lawyers and that they were saying to make sure that they personally were not held responsible. The articulation of all of that was kind of sad, but it is what happened. How in the world you could have a national security agency and everybody else who are supposed to be on top of things like this, who didn't know that this huge mob was going to show up? You mean nobody told anybody anything? So it turns out the FBI knew some stuff and other people knew some stuff, but nobody put a stop to it. And what was it designed to do? It was designed to halt the peaceful transference of power. Maybe it was designed to kill a vice president who was once in the top draw of those people who were obsequious to Donald Trump, but who now was on the top of his list. Why? Because he didn't stop the election results from happening. So if you looked at it, you just sat there and you scratched your head and you said, what in the world is our money being spent for?
All while we were amid a pandemic, this was happening. And looking this morning at the Washington Post, deaths fell by 20% last week from the previous one. The WHO says it's part of a wider trend that includes a decline in cases worldwide. The downturn in both cases and deaths follows a winter surge of infections, but also has coincided with an increase in vaccinations, particularly in the United States. I thought it was interesting that Dr. Fauci yesterday on CNN, for the first time directly, said that Trump's denial and lack of facts contributed to the magnitude of the COVID death toll.
Well, Fauci, of course, has been sitting on an emotional volcano within himself. You know, he knows full well that he was repressed, and he was courageous, and he spoke out in a way that was extraordinary, and he became the president's top medical advisor as a result of all of that. But if you have to hold all that stuff in and not articulate what you know is going on fully, although he did a great job of it, you got to have a little residual anger, and we can see that. You know, it's interesting that Dr. Birx, who was the other person who was quite frequently featured in these presidential news conferences, she has disappeared because she didn't do the gutsy things that Fauci did. In any case, Fauci's a hero. He has created a standard for what you must do under the worst conditions, and he was under a tyrant. Better believe they were putting tremendous pressure on him. For a while, he disappeared. He wasn't being asked to be out front. He's already had the top civilian award. What else can you say except that every once in a while, somebody special comes along?
Well, you referenced Black Lives Matter, and we're sitting here in February, which is Black History Month, and the history of the treatment of young black men and police has been staring us in the face for a long time now. And many police departments in the country, especially in New York, which they're mandated now, are coming up with new police procedures in light of some of the injustices that have occurred. Now we see Daniel Prude, the grand jury in Rochester, votes not to charge officers shown on body camera video holding Daniel Prude down naked and handcuffed on a city street last winter until he stopped breathing. New York Attorney General Letitia James announced the decision Tuesday. The 41-year-old black man's death last March sparked nightly protests in Rochester. He had mental illness, and his family was trying to get that message to police.
David, it doesn't stop with one case. Police departments are taking a second look. We know that. In our little town of Great Barrington, where I live, the new police chief is doing all the right things and is making it clear that we are going to be a different kind of town, along with our wonderful town manager, Mark Bruhinsky, who is obviously sending the message that this has to be done. So it's taken a long time because policemen always were unfettered in what they could do, the thin blue line, people protecting each other. We'll hope nationwide that these things happen. Let's just hope we are going through a time when change is in the air and that it will continue. It won't be short-lived.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok, with us. Always great to talk to you.
And you too, David. Stay safe, and stay safe, everybody out there.